donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Alrighty, we're back. The Joe here. Exclusively leaked Pentagon report forensically dismantled Fauci-led natural origin study. And researchers at the Department of Defense wrote a devastating takedown of the proximal origin study, which was used by Dr. Anthony Fauci, who was a mass murderer. Fauci is a mass murderer. As proof that the COVID virus 19 had come from nature. In this article here, it was leaked, Joe, on the 15th, on May 15th here. The paper came to light on May 15th when it was leaked to the public via Virus Origins Research Group. Drastically decentralized radical anonymous search team investigating COVID-19. The working paper forensically dismantled the natural origin case, made an proximal origin, and concludes the arguments that Anderson et al. Used to support a natural origin scenario for SARS-CoV-2 are based on not on scientific analysis, but on unwarranted assumptions. In other words, what they were told to say. And that came out, that was written, it was told to keep it hush up. That was right from the Pentagon, Department of Defense, but they told it to keep it hushed up. Don't bring that out, but somebody leaked it.
Yep, somebody leaked it, but it was written long ago. It's basically what we were telling people way back when.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some of these Chinese scientists and people telling what was going on, and they all of a sudden disappeared and weren't available for comment once they spoke up. But we talked about that way back in the very beginning, and then we knew the minute that they voices were silent, they were going to kill people, imprison people to keep the truth from us. And but we heard it. We told the people, we warned them that this was happening, and it's amazing how many things years later that we, you and I put out there, the truth finally gets around.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because tonight, if you watch Waters World tonight, basically it was a replay of everything we did last night, everything we were talking about last night. He was on there, and it was very interesting. So, yeah, it's amazing. Anyhow, did you know that the Seattle Crime Force's postal services to temporarily halt deliveries for entire zip codes? Did you know that?
Yeah, sure did. I had that on the wings waiting to, you said you wanted quick, yep.
Mail theft in Seattle.
So dangerous, they wouldn't let the postmen go out.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's what they, that's all these Democrat and Rob cities, they're, they want to completely, the goal is to destroy America, to reduce America to third world status. And the idea that all of these people that they're bringing in are going to vote Democrat because the Democrats brought them in here. But, Joe, they realize, do you think some of these people are going to realize, wait, if we vote Democrat, then America's going to be what we try to get away from, okay? So do you think that that they're all going to do that, or do you think some of them are going to say, no, no, we got away from that, and we don't want that to be, we don't want to come back to that. What do you think?
There's going to be some. It's going to be interesting to see how that works out.
Well, I know that Biden is bringing in as many gang members as he can bring in, too. And again, we've told you, now we've told you for 2.5 years, and it's going to come out one of these days, everything we've told you about this, because they all know it. They've all known it out there. The Biden crime family has been working hand in hand with the drug cartels, the Mexican drug cartels, the Chinese Communist Party, Army, and also with the human smugglers and the child, the pedophiles. Joe Biden's job, his mission given him by the Chinese Communist Party, was to keep the southern border open.
Open.
And so they could bring in all of their nationals. They're bringing in thousands and thousands and thousands. That was his, and he did it. And we had no Justice Department, no intelligence agencies nothing out there that was supposed to help us on this border. You know, it's up to the governors in this country. It's up to the governors to send as many National Guard as they can to the...
So far, the only one that's offered help is DeSantis has offered to send people to help Texas. But he's the only one. But you're right. Every state is now a border state, and the governor should hold an emergency convention or meeting of some kind, and everyone should send something to the border, and they should just by themselves close the border, say nobody's coming in, period.
Right.
And they should override.
What else they should do?
It'd be a rebellion like that, wouldn't it?
Well, I would go one step further. I would put a blockade around Washington, D.C., and don't let any of those criminals out.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah.
Well, all right. What do you have?
Along with, I just warned people their gasoline costs are going to go skyrocketing. They're going to go up. So are their electric bills. MSN.com is talking about how we are fresh blackout threats emerge as power grid faces stressful summer. You see what's happening. Many coal plants are shutting down earlier than planned. They found out that Biden's going to force them to close because they have to either spend way more money than they have to do a carbon capture and stuff. So their investors and people, they're shutting down. So right now there's too little energy available. Demand is going up. One of the reasons nearly 90% of U.S. homes are air-conditioned, way back in the early 2000s, maybe it was in the 70s, and with more and more electric cars, the demand for electricity is going up and up and up. Power plants are going down, down, down. That means energy prices, the less of something, the more it costs. So energy costs are going to go up to force you to use less and less. And there are a lot of these new wind, solar, and energy projects waiting in the wings, but there's a bottleneck. Projects are taking longer because of the study process, the environmental impact, and blah, 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 government red tape, and the fact that they only work in certain conditions, you know. And so we're getting ready, and they've got a problem with shortage on labor workers. So we're kind of maybe in for a bad fall, and from what I'm seeing, a lot of people are saying that you add the energy cost, the gasoline, and this could throw us into a severe recession because it will cause inflation to go up. And we may have an unpleasant fall.
Well, yeah, there's going to be a lot of things going to happen. And too, we'll see what he's going to try to do with our currency come this summer.
Yeah, they're playing that game already, starting to try and create a, you know, what is a digital currency, and we cannot let them do that.
Well, you already you have a number of counties in that are going to their own currency, little by little. I think that's what and barter, more and more are going to go to barter.
But see, that sounds good, but at the same time, then interstate commerce. If you want to take a vacation, money from. Let's say Podunk County in Missouri might not be any good, and Do-Good County in Florida, and it's kind of hard to barter from one state across to another, and there's going to be a lot of pain coming, folks, and you better be ready and better be in prayer that we throw these communists out and that we take our country back. If you guys don't... They say the last election, still, there were so many Christians who didn't bother to go and vote. I just cannot understand how the Christians can sit home and not vote. And that was one of the big problems, is so many people did not turn out and vote.
Well, if they didn't vote, do they have any right to complain?
Nope, none.
So, if they didn't vote, do they have any right to say, well... I had my votes. What was the use? It was rigged anyhow?
It may have been, but still, the more people turning out, there's strength in numbers. And right now, people are starting to fight back. I'm seeing it in school boards. I'm seeing it in county votes and commission and local levels. There's a lot of fighting back, and that's what we need to do. That's what we've been telling people for a long time. They've got to get involved. They've got to start fighting back. They've got to start reprove, rebuke. But like with this woke movement and all this new stuff, we've just got to say, no, we don't want it. We're not going to tolerate it. We're not going to put up with it. We're going to take our schools back. We're going to take our local cities back. We're going to take our counties back. And we've got to roll up our sleeves and go to work, folks. It's going to be a battle, and we're under judgment. And what does Scripture say? When my people repent and turn from their
ways. My people that are called by my name.
By my name, yes.
Right.
And one of the big things that the people have, one of the biggest sins is that we have not done what God has said. It's not that the Christians have been out there sinning so much. They sin by omission, by not obeying what God told them to do, right?
Well, Joe, you have to realize, too, that only a very small percentage of those that call themselves Christians are Christians, Joe.
True. Yeah, we talk about that a lot.
Well, if they were saved, this is why I'm always preaching on making your salvation sure. If they were, if you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you're not an activist, you're not running to the, if you don't have a desire, a burning desire to serve God, then you don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, do you?
No.
And so the Lord Jesus tried to warn people about that, didn't he, when he says, on that day many will say, Lord, Lord, in your name have I cast out demons and thus and such. And he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. See, if you had been saved, if you'd had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, faith without works is what, Joe?
Dead.
So what does that mean? It means there is no faith, right?
It means there's almost none. There's some of faith out there, but it's getting weak.
Well, he's telling you if you're saved, okay, if you're truly saved, there'll be evidence. The works will be the evidence.
By your fruit will you be known, right?
Absolutely. But we are seeing, I'm thinking that we may be seeing the beginning. I'm hoping that we're going to see the beginnings of a revival. That would be a wonderful thing. Yeah, because people are going to start feeling it pretty soon. Many of them are already feeling it. The Democrats are going to continue to burn down the cities they live in. But people are saying enough is enough. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, America is an armed fortress. They do not trust the government at all. They do not trust the government at all. In fact, here's a good article here. Let me just read you this here. This is from Brighton, Brightonton Broadcast. The feds are running the insurrection to overthrow America. No kidding, huh? The real insurrection against America is being run by a rogue, unelected federal government that considers we the people to be its enemies. The Patriot Front group that marches around with white masks and American flags is obviously, almost comically, just a bunch of FBI agents and recruits dressed up as patriots, thereby projecting the appearance of a militant patriot group so that the FBI can continue to justify its own pathetic, corrupt existence. Note, the Patriot Front group, remembers, are never arrested or charged with carrying out any insurrection. They are never unmasked. But when true patriots tried to peacefully stand together in a rigged election on January 6th, they were arrested and charged with a litany of felony crimes in one of the most outrageous abuses of prosecutorial discretion the nation has ever witnessed. This is why I have interviewed J6 victim John Strand in today's Brighton Broadcast News. And the story of being politically persecuted is an emergency wake-up call for how far America has fallen from freedom and justice. Well, Now, they're scared to death that Trump's going to get back in office. They're scared to death. They know Trump now, you know, he's been bitten twice. And he's out there publicly saying he gets back in office, he is going to go after him. He's going to go after all of them, the deep state. And this is why Chris Wray and Merrick Garland and the others are so scared. That means that they're going to take it. They're going to do whatever they think they have to do, Joe, to keep Trump out of office. Now, they've set this trial right up in the middle of the primaries for next year.
Right in the middle of all the action.
Yeah. And so I think this is going to backfire them. Now, if I were the people out there, this judge that has set this, there should be 20,000 people carrying signs in front of that judge's house. But we'll see what happens.
That's what the liberals do. They get out there and they get take action, right?
Right.
Our side, no, not so much.
Yeah. Well, you see, now we've done that in the past. We've gone to Picketum, and that's what they should do with these corrupt judges. These corrupt judges. But we'll see now, because that's the trial. We got to see what happens during the trial, don't we?
Yeah.
And so when we see if you got these crooked prosecutors, corrupt, we should be there in front of their houses. And so,
well, one good thing we've learned that the left used the courts for a long time to go around what they couldn't do with the legislative branch. They're using the courts. And our side's finally taking things to court, and we're winning because we have a conservative court. But I've got some good news for you. Despite the massive Fox News settlement, Dominion CEO has tragic news for voting system company. Basically, he says that despite that windfall, all that money, the bad publicity has damaged the company's reputation beyond repair. It's basically put us into a death spiral, said the CEO, John Polis. By accusing us of the greatest American crime in history, it turned us, as one of our customers has described, as the most demonized brand in the United States. People are not renewing their contracts. States are not going back with Dominion. They're going to other voting systems, simpler systems. Shasta County in California ended its contract, blah, 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 and the report goes on about how much business they're losing. And I personally think they did a lot of cheating. It's my opinion. I can't prove it, but I think we had a lot of evidence that there was a lot of cheating and crime going on. And
a lot of their machines, Joe, their machines were shown. Time and time again, people showed how easy it was to rig those Dominion machines. But not only that, Joe, listen, look. Do you think Dominion knows now they're under the microscope? Do you think they understand, look, that we're not going to be able to get away with it as easy? There's too many people.
Right, the next time, yep.
Right, and so maybe this is the time to get out, because we're not going to be able to pull it off like we did before. And so,
and they're not going to have a choice, because basically nobody's renewing their contracts and they're losing all their business. So there may be a chance this election for a little more fair election. There's going to be a lot of different voting systems in, and hopefully they'll be a little more fair.
Well, let's do this. Let's open the phone lines to take some calls. Let's do that. Phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. Nationwide. It's 888-677-9673 nationwide. We haven't taken calls this early in a while, but I think we should. What do you think?
I think we should. I guess what, just have them ask questions or give opinions or what?
It wouldn't really be nice if they stayed on topic, the things we're talking about tonight? That would really be nice.
Change.
Yeah.
That would be quite a change.
Yeah, the here, the NYT, the New York Times, attacks detransiners. That's us, Joe. We're detransiners for using stories to save children from getting mutilated. This is out of the natural.
We're pro detransitioners. We're not detransitioning from anything, but we're supporting those who are trying to go back and live a normal life. And many of those found out that their problems were deep-seated, and several of them found the answer in Jesus Christ.
Hey, Joe, did you know this, that 95% of all those folks, all those kids who, as adolescents, were confused about their gender, and by the time they reached puberty, were no longer confused? Did you know that, Joe? They'd worked it out?
Those that were left alone, those that weren't pushed, shoved, inundated with pressure from psychologists, psychiatrists, all the woke people. Yeah, the ones that were just left alone, they recovered just fine.
Hey, Joe, you know these people that are mutilating these children, these sleazy, and that's what they are, so-called surgeons that are mutilating these children. They're making an average of $1 million per mutilation. Did you know that?
Oh, well, one night we went over some of that. I didn't know it was that high, but the medicines, the surgeries, it's all very expensive, and guess who's paying for most of it?
Well, Joe, do you know what headhunters, they used to, in the business, headhunters, if you needed somebody, some kind of a job, a person to do a job, especially whatever, and you had these people called headhunters, they would find that individual. Unfortunately, that worked too for, people that, if you needed someone to go bribe a judge, there were lawyers that worked, corrupt lawyers that specialized in doing that, to go and again, bribe a judge. But these people that are...
We had the hired guns, the technical experts that would testify.
Well, but these people, Joe, these people that are making $1 million on that, they have head on it. They have people that will find children, that will go out, that actually convince the children that they're convinced the little boys, they're really girls trapped in a boy's body and vice versa. And they do it for a fee. They get a fee to bring those children in, to be mutilated. And that's a very corrupt thing, isn't it, Joe?
To me, those people, they deserve a special place in hell.
I think there is a special hot place in hell for those folks. Okay, let's go to Vince. Vince in St. Paul, you're in the air.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, was God on our side during the Civil War and the Revolution War and the World War I, World War II, and all the other wars?
Was God on our side in those wars? Well, yes. You know, what happens is if you obey God's word, you wouldn't have those wars. In fact, that's what he tells you. When he gave us the divine institution of human government, the fifth point of that, there were 5 points, and the fifth point was that those that would be in compliance with the first four, in other words, those were God's laws and statutes, would be at peace and not at war. And so that's the problem there. Now, is God intervene? Yeah, he does intervene in these wars. And it's when people that turn away, when people get greedy. What was it, say, during the Civil War? What was taking place in this country that could really upset God? How about slavery? Slavery was one, but there were others too.
Well, how about the expansion of the federal government? Isn't that a great thing?
With the expansion of the government, absolutely.
Abraham Lincoln took the South by force.
Yeah, Lincoln, his job was to keep America together. He did what he had to do to keep America together. Well, remember when America was supposed to be one nation under God, indivisible. with liberty and justice for all.
I think everything would have been together if everybody could have just got along. There's no sense in killing each other.
Well, what does the Bible say about that? Does the Bible say that people are going to get along?
No, but John, the centurion asked John the Baptist, "What shall we do?" And John the Baptist said to the two soldiers, "Be content with your wages and harm no one." That's King James.
Okay, I don't think
that's
that...
not what it said. He didn't say don't use your power and position to get ill-gotten gain or take advantage of people. He didn't tell them to quit being soldiers and not go fight.
The King James says, John said, "Be content with your wages and harm no one."
No, wait a minute. Do you think John the Baptist said that?
John the Baptist, when the soldiers asked John, because John was preaching to the Jews and the soldiers, the Roman soldiers were there, and he says, "Well, what shall we do?" John the Baptist looked at him, or it didn't say he looked at him, but it said in the King James, "Be content with your wages and harm no one."
I don't think that was John the Baptist that said that.
No.
That was the Lord Jesus that made this, that made a statement, but...
Well, I believe it was John the Baptist.
No. So what's your point?
My point is, I don't think new believers are supposed to go to war. New Testament believers.
Well, you know what? When the Lord Jesus told Peter and the apostles, "How many swords do you have?" And he says, "Sell your garment and get a sword." What do you think that the reason was for that?
Are we talking about a sword as in the Holy Word of God? Or are we
okay.
talking about
do this. That we should... John, go to Exodus chapter 3 and read verse 15. I got to move on. Okay, go ahead. Who do we have next? Let's go out to Jack in San Diego.
Yeah, so Pastor Ernie, your suggestion that they surround Washington, D.C., I think could only be accomplished by the military. Well, seriously, you know, the things are so... The governors aren't going to do anything. You understand that people have been coming across our border illegally for over 50 years. It's never really stopped. Reagan tried an amnesty in 87. That didn't work. But never on this scale has there been such a complete invasion of the United States. And Joe Biden, as commander-in-chief, is really derelict in his duties. It really, in my opinion, it really is at this point up to the military. There's nothing in the Constitution to prevent the military from applying the UCMJ to the commander-in-chief. I believe under those circumstances he would be subject to court-martial, along with General Milley. Military tribunals would deal with the rest, like the head of the FBI and the head of the Justice Department. And the only way, the political system is corrupt. The only way you're going to get this country back to a constitutional state is a temporary period of martial law. I mean, it just astounds me when I see how helpless everybody is against this invasion. People coming in unarmed, mostly, you know, not great educations, not wealthy people. These are all poor people, and we act like we're helpless.
Well, you know, you can't complain. They're bringing in a lot of disease. With a lot of the disease they're bringing in make people sick, that means Big Pharma could push a lot more drugs.
Well, right? my point is this. This has been going on, the invasion of illegals, for over 50 years. If the governors were going to do something, they would have done it a long time ago. It seems to me the political system now is totally corrupt, and we're down to one option, martial law. You tell me any other viable
the military
option.
Is the military has gone over too. It's going to be a nation in prayer, and it's going to be God helping save us. And it's going to be, we have to be obedient, and the only help we're going to get is when God steps in and helps us take
that,
it back.
Joe, you've said it exactly right. When the people, when they do that, if they understand and they do that, they repent, they turn away, the American people wake up, God will, he's faithful, he will always honor that commitment. And he tells you when his people turn away from that.
Before I go, let me ask you guys one question, and I'm going to hang up and take your answer off the air. So, do you believe that God gave us free will, or do you believe in divine intervention?
I believe in both. God did give us free will, and there is divine intervention. So, there you go.
He gave us free will to make choices. We make a lot of bad ones. We sin. We can go back to even being saved, born again. We still continue to sin, but we have to go back and, like David, and ask for forgiveness, confess our sins, and we will be forgiven. We're not perfect, and God does intervene with the nations and the lives of men. Both things are both true.
Right. So here's the thing, Joe. That last caller, when he said that we shouldn't go to war. God does not like war. And I told him to read Exodus 15, verse 3. Exodus 15,
right.
3. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. So there you go. Who do we have next? Oh, wait a minute. We'll be back right after this.
Now the end is near. If you're not saved, then you're hurting. It's him that you should fear, and that's the truth. I know for certain. He gave me life that's eternal. He kept me from going astray. He's God, and this I know, he did it his way. Regrets, he's had none, not even one that I can mention. He saved you and I. He brought us through without exemption. He planned each charted course, a guiding light along the pathway. For sure, not more or less, he did it his way. Throughout ancient times, I know it's true. There was never anything that he couldn't do. My faith in him never was any doubt. What he said, he carried out. All in all, as I recall, he did it his way. He lived, he suffered and died, but he arose in power and glory. In him, I now abide. History is just his story. His word is where life's at. And may I say,
not in a shy way. Oh no. No, not me. He did it his way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not his reward, then he has not. A broken heart, he can heal. And in his word, the truth revealed. His word shows what we all know. He did it his way. A broken heart, he can heal. And in his word, the truth revealed. His word shows what we all know. He did it his way. Get used to it, Democrats. God's going to have his way already. 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Let's go to well, we have Clifford. Clifford's here. Hey, Cliff.
Yeah, hi. Hi. I just want to reference a couple of podcasts that relate to China, and I have a question for you guys on Assam. But there's a podcaster called April Moss, Face the Facts. She has an episode 15, which is, she's up to 17 for the season, season 3, with Sasha Ladatova, the pharmaceutical executive, who's saying that Folsom Pharmaceuticals makes most of the vials for Pfizer, which is in China. So what she's saying is that most of the shots for Pfizer are made by this pharmaceutical company from China. And then if you go back to episode 12, it's with Ava Chen is talking about how China has been infiltrating the U.S. And one of the things that's interesting is how they've China let about a dozen gigantic international law firms based in the U.S. into China, with the caveat that they have a certain amount of lawyers from China amalgamated into the firms. And these lawyers were chosen by the CCP. And she has a couple of names, a very disturbing interview with this woman. It's about an hour long. One of the tidbits is that Fauci was having an intimate relationship with a woman 40 years his junior who had been head of the Wuhan lab. And then one more episode is another podcaster, Sam Tripoli, Tinfoil Hat with Sam Tripoli, episode 370, has an almost two-hour interview with a psychiatrist who's they're discussing, are these people Satanists, like these traffickers, even in arms, and they're trying to parse that out, and they're saying that, you know, even if you don't say they're Satanists, that they are referencing Baal, Moloch, et cetera, et cetera. So I find that one interesting. But my question is, on Psalm 53, verses 5 and 6, it's talking about scattering the bones. In other words, the Lord is saying these people did not repent, and that psalm seems to relate to Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 7, where these people never turned back, you know, as like Nineveh did, which and their idolatry resulted in them just having their bones scattered before the heavens. Well, what do you think about that?
Okay. He goes here, Psalm 53, verse 5. There were they great fear where no fear was, for God has scattered the bones of him that encamped against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Well, he goes on to say here the psalm, like others, in 52 and 51, is one of the martial psalms, if you will. He's talking about, in verse 6, he says, "Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, where God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall he rejoice, in Israel shall be glad." Well, it's exactly what he's talking about. He's one of those, it's a portrait of the godless. He's talking here let's go back to verse 1 and you'll understand better. "The fool has said in their heart, there is no God.
Oh God.
Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good." And so he's making a point there. If you in the other passages where this is, where if you go to verse 2, he says this: "God looked down from heaven upon the children of men." This is the children of men, not the children of God. This is what he's referring to. So it's not that there's nobody that's doing good. That there, what he's telling you, as apart from God, apart from Christ, none of the unsaved people are doing good, is what he's telling you. And boy, if you take a look at America today, you can see that. In other words, you say, well, I don't know, that person seems to be helping people, buying them food and stuff like this, but the Bible says that it's not even considered good apart from God. Apart from God. You see what I mean?
And he scatters their bones. In other words, they're totally destroyed and they will be forgotten. They're not going to go to heaven.
Right, which seems to relate to Jeremiah chapter 8. It has a similar thing of scattering the bones.
All right. We got to move on because the board's all lit up. Let's go to Bill. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Pastor, and Parson Bill. Yeah, a very interesting, ironic situation with China. Guess which country the word of God is being spread the most internationally? I'm talking about the whole world.
Okay, are you asking me where it's being spread the most?
Yes.
I would probably say in China or...
Of course. And then their everything in life is an economy. Even Lenin, in Russia, and they still praise him instead of Christ. You know, everything is like the economy. These people from America, Mexico, a lot of Latinos coming into this country. Even Chavez, Cesar Chavez, back in the Lenin strike, back in the day. Because I'm more afraid. I remember when I was in college, he said, no, like I did. And he, what is your comment, Pastor?
Okay, I couldn't quite understand exactly what all you said there. Are you talking about, Joe, did you understand him?
No, I'm having trouble hearing the callers tonight.
Okay, I don't know if he was referring to Khrushchev or maybe Stiles. Stiles, did you understand him?
Not really.
No, Stiles couldn't either. Oh, well, who do you have?
We know that where the Christianity flourishes, where there is the greatest oppression against the faith, it's usually where, you know, it spreads the fastest, because people have seen hell. And then they have seen the salvation of Jesus Christ, and they're more hungry for the word than people that are living fat and happy and don't have a lot of problems.
Yeah, and that's what's happening in North Korea. That's what's happening in China and these countries. And, again, America doesn't, you know, America has to try to understand the people here how precious freedom is. And if they did that, they wouldn't have, let me tell you, you would have no woke corporations out there.
No.
People would be, you know, and these college kids that are so...
They'd be throwing the professors out in their pinies.
Yeah, they should be throwing them out.
They would refuse to go to those classes. They would say, no, we want a real teacher, not an indoctrinator.
Absolutely right. And so, and this is why I think you're seeing the universities that are starting are not woke universities. They're not... you're seeing more and more Christian, faith-based schools starting every day, 3 new Christian schools open, and you're seeing the very same thing with more universities. That is starting, but this is the time that we're living in is called the evil day, the time of sorrows. So we see Antichrist...
We're seeing the sorrows start, aren't we?
Yeah, it's Antichrist is rising. What we're seeing... The Bible refers to it as the birth pains, the birth pains. It's very, very clear. All of what is happening out there is very clear. And when the church is taken out, once the church is taken out of here, it's really going to get bad. That is when it's going to get real bad. And let me tell you, folks, you don't want to be here when that happens, believe me. Who did you have next, Style? How much time do we have? Okay. Joe, you've got 7 minutes.
Oh,
7 minutes. 7 whole minutes.
Tonight, looking through Scripture, everything is based on the blood. You go back in... the Old Testament. He's talking about, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for souls. Leviticus 17:11. Jesus said, life is in the blood. You know, that's where life comes. And that the only remission of sin was through the shedding of blood. And I remember it really struck me that the high priest had to sacrifice a bullock to cleanse himself so that he could go sacrifice a lamb or a goat for the entire nation of Israel for their annual forgiveness of sins. And we know that God sent his son to go to that cross, to shed his blood, the most precious substance in the universe. And just a couple of verses came to mind, Ephesians 1:6-7. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption, that's of our sin, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold and silver from your vain conversion received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, a quote means, of sin. And Jesus himself, when he said that he was Matthew 26, the Lord's Supper, took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, drink ye all of it, all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Our sin debt was paid by the Lamb of God, who the Father sent to take away the sins of the world. Jesus went to the cross at Calvary. He died the most horrible death that earth knew how to come up with, mankind knew how to come up with. He took my place. He died for me, for Pastor Ernie, for all those who would accept his offer. He knew ahead of time, before he went to the cross, who he would die for, because he knew the end of the story from the very beginning. He knew the end. He knew who would accept him, call upon his name. So he died for those of us that he knew would become children of God, the born-again believers. A born-again believer is a child of the kingdom, a son or daughter of the living God. Would you like to be a son or daughter, a spiritual child of God, not just a physical creation, but a family, joint heir with Jesus? To do that, the price has already been paid for your sin debt. What you have to do is call upon the Father and confess from your heart that you're sorry that your sins placed his son on that cross to die that horrible death so that you could be forgiven, because only the blood of an innocent, the total innocent, the perfect spotless blood of the Lamb is good enough to cover your sin debt. The Lamb of God, he willingly went there, paid that price. So if you repent to the Father, you will be forgiven. And then you can call upon the Messiah himself. You can call upon Jesus and ask him to come in and be Lord of your life, that you give yourself to him completely, without reservation. You see, I'm bought and paid for. In a sense, I'm a lobbyist. Pastor Ernie, we're lobbyists for Christ. We're bought and paid for, but not by money.
1 minute, Joe. You've got one minute left.
Paid for by the blood. And then you can be a born-again believer. You will be that child of the kingdom, a new creation, an eternal being. You'll have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as your down payment on everlasting life. You will find peace, joy that you've never known before. And you will have given yourself, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. My Father's house are many mansions. He's preparing you a home forever. It's a decision only you can make. Nobody can make it for you. Jesus is the only way to the Father. And I just hope that you'll prayerfully call upon him and make that decision tonight to make Jesus Christ your Lord. And you become a bought and paid for, spoke a child of the kingdom.
Amen. Very good, Joe. Folks, no one has ever regretted calling upon the name of the Lord and receiving eternal life. We're out of time for tonight, so as we get to this time, every night at this time, we always do the same thing. We say good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless you.
And always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Let's see, you've applied for our open position for account representative?
Yeah, that's the one.
Great. I see you went to UC Berkeley?
It was really awesome. We had several sit-ins to protest oppressive capitalism.
Oh, and how about your skills for this position?
Oh, yes. I know all about how to spot microaggressions and root out privilege.
We don't really do that here. We do accounting and finance consulting.
Do you have any safe spaces?
Safe spaces?
Yes, where people can go to get away from the colonialist mentality. As long as there's a diversity, equity, and inclusion policy, we'll be fine.
Life's too short to waste your time on bad hires. I'm Andrew Krapschetz, the CEO and founder of RedBalloon.Work. Every week, tens of thousands of reliable, career-minded job seekers visit RedBalloon.Work without all that woke nonsense. Post your open jobs at RedBalloon.Work. And if you put in promo code SALEM, you'll receive 10% off your first month's job postings.